Morning, everyone. Call the Story County Board of County Commissioners to order this date, Tuesday, January the 20th, 2015. It'd be a good time if anybody has any cell phones, put them on silent for now. That's disrupt the meeting. And then if you'll join me with the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic which stands one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, getting started here. Item number three, discussion and possible action on the approval of the agenda for this day, January the 20th, 2015. Mr. Manager, do we have any changes to make today?
We have a number of them. Commissioner McGuffey's availability is somewhat limited today due to an important meeting later this morning, so we'd like to move items number 16 and 18 up to immediately after this item, number three. We would also like to correct item 7 for the Virginia City Brewery and Tap House. That is a liquor license application, not a gaming license application. And we would like to continue item 10 as well as continue item 15.
Very good. Any discussion on today's agenda? Stunt commissioners, I'm looking for a motion to approve today's agenda with the changes that were made, the continuations.
I move to approve the agenda with the changes that were made.
Okay. I'll second that motion.
Okay. And you still have discretionary authority to move items around. We'd also recommend that item 12 be moved up actually immediately after this item, item 12.
Okay. That being said, can I get an amendment to that motion to also move number 12?
Move item 12.
Okay, so move in second. Go ahead and move the agenda around and continue a few items. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And the motion carries. Very good. At this time, then, yeah, we'd like to go ahead and go right to item number 12. This is discussion and possible action, consideration of appointment of Dr. James McLennan to serve as County Health Officer per NRS 439.310.
Wherever you're comfortable.
Ms. Evan.
Good morning, Commissioners. For the record, Sherry Nevin. I have today here with me Dr. James McLennan. I'll give him a little bit of time after I give a brief update here on the item. As you're aware, NRS requires each county to establish a County Board of Health consisting of the County Commissioners, the sheriff, and a county health officer. We make this appointment each odd number year in the event of a vacancy, appoint the appropriate replacement. As you're aware, we had the HOT clinic here in Virginia City for many years, and they pulled out in July. We had used Dr. Terry Wong as our health officer at that time. And with the move of HOT out of our county, it's kind of came up that we need to reappoint the county health officer. So today we are requesting the appointment of Dr. James McLennan. Dr. McLennan has a general practice in Reno. He's lived here in the state of Nevada since about 1982, so he considers himself nearly a native Nevadan. And I'll let him kind of come up and give a quick explanation of what he does and why he's excited to be here with us in Story County.
Very good.
You'll have to excuse me. I'm a little bit under the weather today, but nonetheless, as you mentioned, I've been in, I live in Washoe Valley. I've been in Washoe Valley since 1982. I moved up from Southern California. I've been in private practice since 1984. I started up at the St. Mary's Acute Care Center on South Virginia Street. Worked part-time as a prison physician down in maximum security prison between 1982 and 1984, and then in 84 I went into private practice, have been in practice as family medicine since then. My practice is now at 513 Hamill Lane, south of Lowe's Hardware, off of Kiske. my practice is family medicine, and, you know, I've when I learned about this, I was rather excited to have the opportunity. I have had many, you know, opportunities in the past of having an office facility at the Grand Sierra Resort for about maybe 6 years, and then they terminated my contract, went with another organization, and they have no physician there. I've been involved in medical mission work throughout in the world. I love medicine. I love people. I love challenges. I love the opportunity to you know, get my feet wet and help out when needed. I'm excited to learn about Story, you know, County, the needs of Story County, and what I can do to assist your county. I was rather surprised in trying to find out information about the Story County. It's a remarkable small county with not a whole lot of people, but with the advent of Tesla coming in, I see that the landscape is rapidly, you know, changing, and for you guys, it must be a very exciting proposition to have that come into town. But nonetheless, is that I would be open to assist you in any way. I understand there is some needs here, and I'm not sure if I can meet all of those, but I'll do my best to assist.
Great. Thank you. Commissioner McGuffey, do you have any questions, Doctor?
Excuse me. You're currently in general practice?
Family medicine, yes.
You have an office?
Yes, I do. As a private office, I have a physician's assistant in my office. I used to have a larger staff, but they all got scared of the current system in the Accountable Care Act, and they all went to St. Mary's, and so one of the St. Mary's clinics has all my ex-staff, so go figure, but I'm kind of like a dinosaur, and will continue to practice in private medicine.
So are you taking on any new clients?
Oh, yes, I do take the new clients. Unfortunately, I'm looking for more, you know, physicians in my practice and more physician assistants in order to accommodate the influx of new patients that we have.
I understand you'll be overseeing our nurse practitioners up here on site and assisting with your oversight. Is that the way the process works?
I'll make a quick correction to that. The nurse practitioners and the registered nurse that we have here are employees of Carson City Health and Human Services. This will be like an integrative approach.
And Commissioner Gilmer, what the principal responsibility of the health board is to yearly, I believe, set the immunization schedule for our schools. NRS requires that separation and segregation. So that's where the doctor's good efforts will come in, helping you guys understand what's typical for the area, what's required by law. I'm sure he'll be working with Vicki Beaupre and others within the school's health delivery system as well.
I see.
That's great. We like dinosaurs, okay.
But I'm always evolving into a better dinosaur.
That's good. We appreciate your participation, and we need a doctor here. That's great. Does anybody else have any discussion on this item? Anybody have any questions for the doctor? Okay. And any hearing none, then at this time I'll ask the fellow commissioners here for a motion to go ahead and appoint Dr. James McLennan to serve as the county officer.
I'll move to approve the appointment of Dr. James McLennan to serve as a replacement county health officer per NRS 439.310.
I'll second that motion.
Moved and second for approval of the appointment to Dr. Lennon. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye, and the motion carries. Welcome aboard, Doctor.
Thank you. Thank you very much for your consideration.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
I look forward to working with you.
All right, thank you. Likewise.
Okay, this time we're going to bounce ahead now to item number 16. This is discussion and possible action, the approval of payroll checks dated 1/2/15. Accounts payable, the 1/9 of 2015. And on these items, there is a check in there payable to the private company that I represent on a lease agreement. So with that said, I'll ask for approval. Any discussion on this first?
Mr. Chairman, staff would recommend two separate motions on this. One would be approval of payroll checks dated 1/2/15 in the amount of $427,484.18, and approval of payable checks dated 1/9/15 in the amount of $315,685.05, and excluding the payment to the Bucket of Blood for the parking lot lease directly south of the courthouse.
So we're still going to need approval of that second.
And then we'll approve that item separately, yes, sir.
Okay, so if we can get approval for the payroll checks.
I motion to approve the payroll check.
I'll second that motion.
And moving to second approval of the payroll checks. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And the motion carries. Now we'll go ahead and ask for the approval of the payables of $215,000 and also for $6,600. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And I'll abstain from that. And the motion carries. Moving along now to item number 18. So this is community development and planning, discussion of possible action in accordance with condition number 20 of 2.2 of special use permit number 2000-222-A-5, the SUP held by Comstock Mining, LLC, and the SUP holder Comstock Mining, submitted to the Board of County Commissioners, a modification to its mine operating plan so that the Board may validate that the modification conforms to the conditions of the existing SUP. The major modification will allow Comstock Mining's ore haul trucks to cross over a portion of State Route 342 between Lucerne Pit and the East Resource Area, an area immediately east of Lucerne Pit in southern Gold Hills, Story County, Nevada, the septic area, and plans are included in enclosures A through C. Mr. Osborne.
Thank you, Chairman, Mr. Commissioners. What we have in front of us here today, and I just provide a little background for you as well as our attendees today, is the last special use permit, which we call now the A5 special use permit of Comstock Mining, as a condition that when Comstock Mining updates its operating plan, which is not the special use, it's basically the plan by which they mine and do things like that, that if there's a major modification, that they come to this board and work with me and basically to assure that that major modification conforms to the special use conditions. It's not necessarily an approval of the modifying of the plan. It's not a go ahead and move forward. It's just we validate, yeah, it conforms, staff go ahead and proceed as we would normally. And so the plan in this case, Comstock has submitted its operating plan, a major amendment, and this includes crossing State Route 342 in Lower Gold Hill with haul trucks. It's not traveling on the road up and down or from one location to another, but essentially just crossing the road. And their plans that they submitted included both engineer drawings as well as narrative plans, both of which I've reviewed. They include, in summary, the grading plan, a safety and management plan, the traffic management plan for both the truck traffic as well as managing vehicular traffic not related to the mine, flaggers that will be on the north and southbound lanes controlling traffic, and the lighting plan and weather as well as far as how the crossing will operate during certain weather conditions. As you notice in your packet, there are conditions that staff is recommending to go along with the operating plan that Comstock has submitted. These are areas that staff feels could be increased and clarified to assure that what's going to occur at the bottom end of Gold Hill is safe and compliant with a special use. And their areas include, we're adding 50-foot and 100-foot approachments that would have basically a mud track-off device, i.e. gravel and asphalt, so there's no mud and other material being tracked under the road by the trucks. Comstock's going to maintain a street sweeper and an appropriate tractor, such as a bobcat or something like that, to make sure any rocks that fall out of the trucks while they're crossing the road are immediately removed, and they'll have an operator that's qualified to operate that equipment there as well. There'll be a turnout. That is basically, staff anticipates that when you have a 50-ton truck crossing a highway near a mine, that tourists are going to want to looky-loo and take pictures to send back to their families. It's kind of cool. But we want them to have a turnout there on the site so it's safe to do so, so you don't have people parked in the middle of the road causing a safety hazard. Closure during weather, any ice, snow, sleet, rain, and those sorts of things. This is all going to be closed. It'll be as if nothing happened. The regular traffic will be the only traffic occurring at the site. And then one of the biggest things that we've been working with Comstock on various things and listening to the public and our community interests and our business interests is that the road will remain right away to existing vehicular traffic. So Comstock is going to manage it such, with exception of some de minimis slowdowns that may occur, that regular traffic will have the right-of-way and that the truck crossing will not cause delays or backups or anything like that that could potentially harm the area. And then probably even more important is during the construction phase, as well as in the operations phase of this crossing, State Route 342 is going to remain open. It's not going to be closed. Traffic's not going to be detoured through the truck route, matters like that. It'll remain open at all times. The biggest disruption possibly could occur is traffic may have to use an alternate detour at or near the site to get around it while they're constructing the device, such as the 24 inches of concrete that will be poured adjacent to the road to haul the weight of the trucks, to handle the weight of the trucks. The payload is an important aspect in here. Comstock Mining does load its trucks potentially beyond capacity at its mine. It can do that. That's not a problem. But whatever CAT recommends is a regular payload capacity for those trucks without any modifications will be the maximum payload that they can carry over the road. And the primary purpose of that is to prevent rocks from falling out of the truck onto the road, such as sometimes do occur down at the mine. And that would be fine down at the mine, but not at the site. And then the flaggers are going to watch in the plan. They have to update their narrative plan. So the flaggers are not only watching the traffic that's crossing in and out of the road, but they'll also be able to manage the truck traffic that's coming up and down the haul roads and making sure that, you know, two trucks come to the road at the same time, that they can manage that effectively so it's safe, right, and doesn't cause any disruptions to traffic or safety hazards. And there's also some curves and things like that on the road. The Comstock is going to work on their plan to make sure that those flaggers can see vehicles coming up the road, particularly from Silver City, and that they'll be able to prepare to slow those vehicles down before they get to this crossing. And then, and that's about it. NDOT is going to be the one ultimately providing the right-of-way crossing permits for this. And they are going through a full comprehensive review of the same thing we did with all their narrative plans, as well as their grading and construction and design plans. I have submitted all of the comments I just discussed that are also included in your plans to NDOT, and they are reviewing those and will be integrating those and more into their operating plan as well. And so with all those said, we do believe that it is conforming with the special use permit. And at this point, I'm happy to answer any questions. Comstock is here with a short presentation, I understand.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mr. McGuffey, do you have any questions for us?
No, I've asked a lot of questions before today.
Okay. Mr. Gilman?
No questions.
All right. Well, we'll go ahead and go forward with the presentation.
Good morning, Commissioners, Madam District Attorney, County Manager, Scott Jalkover, Business Development Director for Comstock Mining. I would like to introduce Ken Joy to give our presentation that will be brief. And Ken is our construction manager. He's a graduate of UNR in Reno, and some of you might know his dad, who does work out at the industrial park in Story County, Joy Engineering. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Ken to give you this presentation.
Morning, everybody. For the record, my name is Ken Joy, Scott mentioned. I work for Comstock Mining, and I perform the role of project manager for the capital improvement projects. I'm here today to discuss the discuss and approve the installation of an at-grade crossing across SR-342. This is kind of a bird's-eye photo of it. It's very hard to see, but
the crossing would go adjacent to the pit.
The crossing is shown here in the colored sections that they detail in this red area here and the green in the middle. Detail the crossing extents. This portion right here would be the shoe fly portion, which we would put the traffic on while we construct anything within the right of way. The intent of the phased approach is to keep SR-342 open to traffic and emergency vehicles while fixing the sagging structure and allowing our haul trucks safe crossing. So phase one of this construction, which I'm going to show some pictures of each one of the phases in detail after the slide, but it's important to understand the phase of construction that we've planned on. The first one, we would just construct the bypass on the east side of the road. The traffic would remain normal while we do so. Phase two of construction would be the actual work inside the right-of-way, and the traffic would be turned onto the shoe fly that's been constructed in phase one. Phase three is going to detail just closing the shoulder on the pit side, which would be the west side, not the east, instead of the east, but and the traffic would return to the state route. So this is phase one in blue. So it kind of details the work for that bypass where we would put traffic on it in phase two.
And how long does that take, Ken?
That should take 2.5 weeks or so. Struck. This is phase two, this blue area in the middle. So traffic would be directed onto the shoe fly while we work in the right of way. Phase three, this was again just the west shoulder, so hopefully that makes sense. It's clear to everyone. The construction timeline, we're anticipating a start date. We would like to start in January. And we expect to be complete sometime in March, if not sooner. So operations, while Comstock Mining is operating this, we would use the crossing to transport existing material across SR-342 in our haul. It would have two flaggers at all times, as often said, one in the northbound lane, one in the southbound lane. Crossings of the mining equipment will comply with all special use permit conditions. So what we did is we created a mock-up of trying to simulate what these crossings would look like. And there's a video on the next slide I'm going to show. We went out and we measured the width of the crossing where we plan on putting it in SR-342. And then we took those measurements up into the haul road where we painted some lines on the ground. And we timed what it would take to get across the road with one of our loaded trucks. The crossing would allow safe concurrent use of the mining equipment. So these are the orange lines. They're very hard to see in here, but there's one at this arrow, and there's one at this arrow. This is our mock-up that we made. And it's about 32 feet between these orange lines, and that, again, is just representing the distance across SR-342. This is the video we made. It might be hard to hear, but I can kind of narrate as we go.
So, truck is at the simulated crossing. Start rolling when it gets that orange line. He'll be all the way through it, right? Now.
So I don't know if you could hear that, but when the truck started, he stopped at the paint line. And then right here at the end where he crosses, it takes 78 seconds to get across that section, our mock-up. So the road cleaning, our trucks will run over coarse gravel from the west side of 342 and east side. Actually, we would put,
for those of you that are familiar with the track off system, you know, we use like a 6 to 8 inch or so size rock that would be easy to maintain, to keep the rock, the tires on the trucks clean, and minimize the material deposited in the roadway. We will also have cleaning equipment available in the event that there's any spillage or any kind of sweeping. Our proposed equipment that we would use for the cleaning of the road would look something like this. That's the all that I really have to illustrate for the crossing. Do you guys have any questions before we go into the next portion of the?
Yes. Back in your pictures on the showing the work area.
Yes.
With your bypass. Is the bypass going to be left in place as kind of a pullout area for visitors, tourism?
Yeah. So the pullout that Austin is referring to is planned on right here?
Yeah. Yes. But it'll only be for eastbound traffic, basically?
Correct.
Or southbound?
Currently, we don't have a safe.
Do you have anything in the plans for the other side of the road?
Currently, we do not see a way to put something within close proximity to the crossing in the southbound line. But there is, if you continue down the south lane down by Devil's Gate, if you're familiar with the area, there's a wide spot where the traffic can turn around and come back northbound.
I don't know if we really want traffic flipping U's on the highway.
There is a location up further, we call it the construction entrance, but it's a significant distance away from where the crossing would actually be installed.
Off to the right, further, is that going back towards Devil Gate, the right view?
So Devil's Gate's down here by
the... Okay, so I'm turning around here, okay. Now there is a turnaround, there is a pull-out area down there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, coming up.
So it's a fully improved asphalt?
Yeah, so... What we did is we had Summit Engineering at Arena Design and roadway sections and that would withstand our loaded haul trucks. So that section, that structural section, is 10 inches of asphalt on 24 inches of base rock on 30 inches of structural material.
That's the crossing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The balance of the roadway, however, will be paved.
I'm sorry?
The shoe fly.
The shoe fly will be paved, yeah, 3 inches on six.
Okay.
And if that is a section of the road that's historically been weak because of the
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
That is a section of the road that's previously been weak. So what's the question we'll be doing here? Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you. Rick.
Morning, Commissioners. Rick Martin with Comstock Mining. I function as our air quality person for doing what we're doing down there right now. We had told the county that as we deployed our device and as we moved forward, that we would keep you advised, we'd give you reports, and as we begin our operations now on the east side, look forward to that. This is just a quick update of how we're doing that and how we have this in place to report to you. So as a quick refresher, we have deployed two different types of devices. Both types of devices are capable of doing air sampling. The one you see now is also capable of doing our full weather reporting, so it has wind speed, wind direction, temperature, humidity, and so forth. So with those and with these type of devices deployed in both Story County and Lyon County, we have a deployment
that looks like this. It's probably the heaviest deployment of air quality monitoring devices of any place in the state at this point in time. County line is approximately right here. The area we're talking about doing this work in is obviously in this area here. So we have these now fully deployed. We do have more than 60 days now of runtime, where we have the data coming back. And as a report to you, we wanted to share with you some of that information. In order for us all to kind of understand what we're doing, there's got to be some common reference point. And what we use as a common reference point is the Environmental Protection Agency's AQI. Every day, EPA publishes a air quality index for not only the region, as you can see in this map here, but also specifically for the Reno-Sparks area. We use that and we contrast to that what we're doing. We're sampling at PM10, which is the same thing that the EPA does. So we contrast to those and we look at those each day. So if you look at November on this type of a spreadsheet, you can see that from an air quality standpoint, you have good, moderate, unhealthy to sensitive groups and then unhealthy. You will note that as we have full months of data now, that all of our readings are in the lower end of the good category. We thought this all along. We now have statistical data that substantiates that position, that we have very low readings in the area. So as you can see, in November, there was nothing even approaching the midline in the good air quality range, and certainly nothing approaching moderate, unhealthy, or unhealthy for sensitive groups. If we look at this, this is the kind of monthly reporting we would tend to share with you. So if we look at November, again, we have those categories based upon micrograms per cubic meter of air. The AirNow report issued by EPA that you just saw was 30 days, all within the good category. In the Reno-Sparks area, within that 30-day month, there were 28 days in the good and 2 days in the moderate. Most often in the Reno-Sparks area, that's due to the air inversion that is pretty frequent in that Reno-Sparks area. And you can see that with all of our reporting devices within our deployment, all of them were within the good range. So we do a cumulative total up here and show that all 30 days are within the good air quality. And then we show each of the individual devices had air quality every day within that reporting period within the good air quality range. If you look down at the bottom and we look at a summary, the EPA published AirNow average for the region, which is the Reno-Sparks area, was 24.8 micrograms. The average from all of our stations was 7.2. Obviously, we have significantly cleaner air here in Story County than they have down in Reno. So this is the kind of report. And another thing to note, this report represents for the month 129,000 samples. These devices are sampling every minute, and we have multiple devices within Story County. So this is not just a few random samples. We're right at 130,000 samples taken for the month of November. That gives us good statistical data that we can say with confidence what kind of air quality and any impacts, which we have found absolutely none from our activities to the community surrounding us. If you look at December, the same general patterns. The EPA published for 31 days, was 30 days in the good area, 1 day in the moderate for the Reno-Sparks, 28 and 3. For all of our devices, all days within the reporting period were within the good air quality range. Each of the reporting stations showed the same thing. And again, the same trends. You had 23.6 as an average of air quality as published by EPA. Our samples up here, not having those air inversion and other problems, we're showing 9.4. So we will be able to share with you every month what's happening not only on a cumulative basis with the total devices, but on an individual device level. And again, for December, it was 133,000 samples taken. So as we've said before, we feel we have probably the most aggressive and progressive deployment of air sampling devices, and the data that is now coming back, we have a very strong baseline, and as we move into activities, whether it's on the east side or wherever, we now have something to compare to, and we sample this real time, so we will know at any point in time if there were any effects that were to become deleterious to health. And as we have developed the data so far, everything shows within the healthy range or the good range. So we just wanted to make sure that we had shared back, as we had committed to the county, that this monitoring mechanism robust, in place, and we're now coming back as we had committed to the county. That's it for my quick reference. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer those.
Four of these stations are also located in Lyon County. Is that correct?
Yes. Some are in Lyon County. Some are. If you look here, this is Story County. These three are Story County. This one sits right on the county line, and then these are in Lyon County.
Okay. So that'll address concerns of the Silver City, Lyon County residents.
Right. As well. So we have full deployment across the county line.
Does this take into account, like, during a windstorm when the dust is kicked up?
Well, it takes into account. Obviously, it monitors 24/7.
Yeah, I'm hearing from residents about when we have these windstorms. It kicks up dust, and, of course, they're all worried about
it. It kicks up dust. You know, we had a significant windstorm here recently. And one of the things that we noticed, we took samples from all the stations, looked at those. The nice thing about our sampling program is we can look at individual hour increments or whatever we want to do. We did notice a spike as that winds increased over the morning, but at no time during that period in our area did we come out of the good range.
So those readings who show up on the chart you had were showing the spikes on the bottom, basically, per day.
We monitor those, and we have snapshots of those, and it's averaged over the course of that, but also it notes if we have any peaks, you know, and on that one day where we had significant winds up here, we did see an elevation in the overall totals, but we did not see any. Now, you'll have an individual particle. These are measuring PM10s, and so you can have a transient individual particle that may be red, but that's very momentary, but at no time during that very heavy wind event, did we have any consistent readings that came out of the good range?
But they all showed good readings.
Say again?
Your chart showed all good readings.
Yes.
So the spike might be from one of those wind storms or whatever.
It could be. It could be from a dust devil. We look at all of those.
Okay.
Any other questions? Thank you for your time.
Well, we can ask. Is that the end of your presentation?
That's it.
All right, so this is open for discussion. So do we have any comments from anyone in the audience? Okay, seeing none. Ms. Austin? Are we looking for an approval of a major modification? Is that what we're looking for on this?
Yeah, it's kind of how it's structured. There is a motion you can make, and it's to validate that this whole thing conforms to the special use. If it chose not to follow that motion, that technically would be compliant with the condition in the special use, too. But if you want to just make it part of the record, that would be fine to go ahead and follow that recommended motion.
Okay. Pleasure of the board.
So I recommend that we...
Not in this case.
Okay, good.
It's found to be conforming with a special use.
Oh, I'm in the motion. So reading the recommended motion in accordance with the condition number 2.2 of special use permit number 2000-222-A-5, I, Lance Gilman, validate that the operating plan major modification in which ore haul trucks will cross over a portion of State Route 342 between the Lucerne Pit and the East Resources area, an area immediately east of the Lucerne Pit in Southern Gold Hill, as described in the submitted plans, conform to the conditions of the existing SUP, and accordingly, I authorize county staff to accept the operating plan major modification and to proceed otherwise in accordance with the applicable federal, state, and county regulations.
Okay, we have a motion.
I'll second the motion.
Moved in second for approval of the major modification plan. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And the motion carries. Let's move right back now to the consent agenda. Does anyone have any concerns on today's consent agenda? Hearing none, I'll call for a motion.
I make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
I'll second that.
Moved in second to approve today's consent agenda. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 And the motion carries. Thank you. Moving along right now to item number 9, discussion only. No action, no public comment. This is committee and staff reports. County Manager Witten, would you like to start off today?
Yes, I'd love to before two of our friends escape. I'd like to call out and have them stand up for a minute. Richard Aloyan and Paul Cohen, they are with our environmental health group with the state of Nevada. I've known Richard a long time. Got red tagged by him once a long time ago. Richard and Paul came to us through Dean Haymore and asked if what they could do to make things go easier for our new food service and hopefully hotels and others that are taking root out in Tribe. Their base of operations, of course, is Carson City. Practically forever, I think we've been under state environmental health inspections here, but the industrial park is taking a new turn. So I had a meeting with them last week, and I found it super refreshing, which is something I don't sometimes say about state agencies. But Dean and Paul are going to be sharing an office space out in the industrial park. I think Paul's current plan is to take up residence there a day a week, or the best part of a day a week, get out there and inspect all the food trucks that are popping up, and the businesses that have food services within them and food product. It's just such a refreshing approach that this agency, while we're at the table with new prospects, we can now say, you know, Story County can promise you this. When it gets to the state, we've got this, but now we've got great partners that will be on-site at the table with us. So I wanted to introduce them both, although many know Richard clearly, and thank them for such an innovative partnership. So.
Well, thank you for the opportunity to make it kind of a one-stop shop for all the people that are have to come through our office and have to come all the way to Carson City, and we can handle things much more effectively. We thank you for the opportunity to let us take a little bit of your office space. So thank you.
Great. Thanks, Richard.
Yeah. Thanks for coming up today.
I appreciate it, too, because it just reinforces, you know, our brand that there's not a lot of hiccups when it comes to getting licensed and operating in the county.
Continuing on, Mr. Chairman, just a couple of things. We had a BDR request in through Senator Sotomayor that would have taken what I mistakenly assumed was an NAC only, a Nevada Administrative Code approach. That anybody that's testified before the legislature is aware that there's a red placard staring you right in the face that says it's a misdemeanor to knowingly give false testimony to the legislature. We had asked Senator Sotomayor to consider expanding that to local governments as well. Legislative Council Bureau got back to me over the weekend and indicated that NRS 241.0353 already covers that. So individuals standing at the podium in the near future will probably see a similarly worded placard. The bill drafts are beginning to come out. They come out in large blocks. I think I've received about 200 in the last several days. Many of them are either benign or of little to no interest to local government, but many, such as changes in the Governor's Office of Economic Development incentive programs, are certainly of interest. So we'll be monitoring those. Steve and Mary Walker joined our department head meeting this morning and kind of reviewed the processes with all department heads. And you'll be seeing contacts out frequently. If the commission specifically wants to see all the BDRs, please let me know and I'll have you added to the list. But I would probably tell you they're so voluminous that you almost can't keep up with all of them, so I carve out 2 hours each night and just read and toss the ones that are of no interest and then circle back on the ones that are. Lastly, and I will be very brief in my comments and defer the floor to Vice Chairman Gilman when it's time. There was a another monumentous announcement last Thursday night in Governor Sandoval's State of the State. It's one I'm proud to say that, again, that whole collaborative team worked on. And I will tell you that these guys are, these people, not guys, because he's got as many or more women on his management team. These folks are probably the funnest, most dynamic, creative group that we've yet to see choose Story County. So I'll end my staff report and let Lance pick that up in board comment.
Thanks, Matt. And since we know that no one would knowingly falsify their testimony at the podium here, having a plaque printed up and posted there would be a good reminder for someone maybe not to go in a different direction than they should.
Yes.
All right. Under one of our special staffers out there, we have Paul Quam. Would you like to give us a little staff report on where you're at right now?
I'm reporting on scope my efforts and Story County's efforts to bring in natural gas to the Comstock, to Silver City, Gold Hill, Virginia City. Been working on this effort quite some time. Received a letter yesterday via email, which you all have a copy. Been dealing quite a bit with Southwest Gas. And if anybody wants a copy of this letter, you may have a copy. It's part of the official record. I'm sorry, Southwest Gas. The bottom line of this record, Southwest Gas really isn't interested in coming up to the Comstock to service at this time. I would like to continue my efforts. We're going to have to go outside the box on this and be a little innovative. I'd like to continue that effort into 2015 and see if there's any alternatives we can do on this. But right now, they're really not interested at this time. Maybe possibly we can get them interested in the future, change my approach somewhat. But at this time, I don't have good news to report, and I apologize to everybody. Thank everybody that helped me. But if it's okay with the board, I would like to continue this and see if there's any alternatives, you know, through 2015. See if there's anything innovative we can do. But right now, it doesn't look promising, per the letter.
Absolutely, Paul. We would like you to continue on this.
Okay.
And I know, and this board knows, you've been working tirelessly on this effort, and to try to bring an affordable energy product to the Comstock. Most people know that they're heating with heating oil or propane. It's been a very expensive endeavor, although the prices have come down with the cost of oil. When you do the comparison between natural gas and the other products to heat your homes, there's just no comparison. There's just no comparison there. So,
that's true.
That's why where it's affordable in other jurisdictions that they put natural gas in, because of the affordability. And you don't have, not everybody has a propane or an oil tank in their backyard blending in with their garden. So,
I've always thought the project, it was doable. But you have to be innovative when you do the routing. You just simply don't draw a line between two points and go through the territory. What you do is you come over here, you avoid a rock outcropping. I found a way up Grinders Bend. It's a little different, I think, how you would put in a natural gas line. Versus, let's say, Fallon in the Lahontan Valley. Therefore, there you can draw a line between two points and go for it. It's easy digging. Here, you're weaving and dodging. But let's see what we can do the next few months. See if, you know, we'll work on innovative solutions. See if there's any possibilities out here. You know, we had, as people pointed out, we had natural gas in the late 1800s up here. We don't have it right now. We would like to get it back. If anybody has any questions, I'm ready.
Great.
If people would like copies of this letter, they're more than welcome. Thank you.
And I might take advantage of this just to remind every resident of Stark County that is on propane that if you're being held hostage, you know, by your rates, consider and talk to the folks at Ferrellgas. I normally wouldn't present one company over another, but when the county goes through its bid processes for propane for our own buildings and for the school buildings, through Chairman McBride's suggestion this last time around, we asked for pricing components inclusive of residents of Story County. You may get a better rate, you may not. I will tell you my rate as an employee of the county through Ferrellgas was approximately $2 a gallon less than what AmeriGas was charging. So investigate that. If you have any questions, please call Susan Breilinger. She can give you what the rack rate is and what the spread over the rack rate is. That's essentially the wholesale cost. And while Paul continues his great gratis work, I would suggest you you take a look at your options. I do.
Great. Thank you, Pat. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you, Paul.
Okay, from the Mark Twain Community Center, Ron Engelbrecht, we have here today. You have anything to report on today, Ron? Not today? Okay. Very good. Sherry Nevin, do we have anything today? Here in services?
Sherry Nevin, for the record, I'll keep my comments very brief. Just wanted to remind you all of the Health Center open house tomorrow evening from 4 to 7 at the Community Center on Carson Street. I'd encourage you to come out and meet our community health nurses, library staff, and other counseling and case management staff that will be there as well. The Virginia City Senior Center has received their new kitchen equipment. As you'll recall, we got a grant for them last year, and they got that in and installed. I think there might be a few small components they're working on, but it looks great. Next step is countertops, and then that project will be complete. The old fridge that was in there is, you know, fairly functional, and they've donated it to the Mark Twain Community Center, so they were happy to get that as well. And that is all I have for you today.
Very good. Thank you. From Community Chest and the Library, Sean, do you have anything to report today?
Sorry, I'm sure.
Very good. All right, move around through here. Chief Haynes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, honorable board members. I apologize for not being at the last two meetings. The meeting in January, I think I was in Las Vegas at the ambulance re-chassis project. I again fly down tomorrow and the next day to go through the pre-paint process. We're hopeful those ambulances will arrive here, the first two of three, probably mid to late February, and that'll be a big relief to our rolling stock breakdowns. So we're very excited to get those. I think in December I missed as well, and I think we were in Japan at Panasonic reviewing their facility. So I apologize for not giving reports last month or so. But everything's going along well. As I mentioned, the ambulances will be here mid-February, late February. The engines are still on track. We've had one pre-construction conference back in Louisiana where they're being constructed. They should be here around May, hopefully end of May, beginning of June-ish, sometime in that time frame. And the only last thing is we're working diligently on the Nevada State Firefighter Association conference, which we were fortunate to receive this year. That will be June 23rd, 24th, 25th, if I can remember my dates right, and planning is well underway for that process. Any questions since I haven't been here the last month or so?
Commissioners, have any questions for the chief?
I missed so many meetings that a board member changed even. So, thank you.
Thanks, Gary. Next up, Public Works, Mike Nevin.
Good
takes a lot to cool down.
Good morning. For the record, Mike Devon, Public Works Director. Just a couple of little updates on some of the major projects that we have ongoing. I'll talk about the wastewater plant project to start with. Progressing along nicely on all the projects. Of course, weather has been a significant factor. We couldn't ask for better weather to be doing stuff on outside, although we need the moisture. It's just been a blessing for some of these projects that they've been able to move quickly and rapidly. The wastewater project is still anticipated for a final completion the first week in March. I'm happy to report that our contingency that we had set aside in the grant portion of the USDA grant, we had just under $400,000. USDA is going to let us utilize that contingency on this phase via a change order that was approved for the expansion of the sewer main project from the plant up to R Street. So that's pretty significant, because if we don't utilize it, we would have to return it to USDA. So we're able to utilize the remaining grant funds and the contingency to do that work. I'll mention that Q&D has been just great to work with down there. Very, very few change orders. In fact, most of the change orders have been to our benefit, so that's good to know. So we can utilize those grant funds to move the project up the street, so to speak. So that's what we'll be doing. The reservoir projects, the 5 Mile and Divide reservoir projects, that project was started back at the end of October. At 5 Mile, that 5 Mile reservoir rehabilitation is about 99.5% complete. There's just a few little odds and ends items regarding safety issues that had to be addressed at the sites, i.e. safety ladders in the reservoir, some buoys, and so on and so forth. That reservoir, we began to fill it at the end of December, in fact, on the 31st, New Year's Eve. I'm happy to report that we have reached almost capacity, probably will do so tomorrow. So that's an additional nearly 8 million gallons of raw water storage that we have now impounded on our side of the mountain. So it provides a little bit of relief if that siphon were to fail or rupture for some, you know, unknown reason. We have that additional water impounded for use within the system here. It comes from 5 Mile, of course, to the treatment plant, and then gets processed there. But the Divide reservoir progressing nicely. The liner was installed last week there. The riprap along the edges is going in as we speak. If the weather holds, I would anticipate they'll probably be out of there in another week, week and a half. So we'll begin to fill that reservoir as well. Another project that we're embarking on is, of course, the 6 Mile drainage improvements, and that was from some FEMA pre-mitigation grant funds that we got, a 75% grant, 25% match. We're in design phase now. The surveys, all the aerial work is complete, so we are in design. Should be completed shortly, and we hope to go to bid on that project as early as this summer and get it completed within one good weather season. So moving along, our crews have also been busy out at the industrial park, both roads and the building side of things. We've done some significant tenant improvements in our McCarran facility there, dividing up some space. We have some of our partner clients that have opted to come into Story County to do business with us. We're providing some temporary space there for those folks. So moving right along, and not much snow, so we haven't been too much out with plows and sanders, but been busy doing other things. So. Thank you.
That's good. Thanks, Mike. You have to go? Okay.
You're ready, right on the clock. Put a home run.
Okay. He's definitely going to shoot himself at this time. Okay. The planning department, Mr. Osberg, anything going on? I was calling on Desi, but I think she already left.
Chairman, commissioners, thank you. We have a couple items. You've probably been aware a little bit that Bureau of Land Management is working on their resource management plan, which is essentially the Carson City District's master plan for this area that's BLM. Desi and I have been working with the BLM since the beginning of this plan as a cooperating agency from Story County. And just to let you know that Desi did attend one more meeting down in at the Nugget and provided further comment, and then I'll be attending one in Carson City providing further comment. And this is the stage where they have the open houses where you kind of come, write some comments, look at maps. Her and I have also been involved in the more intricate stages of developing the text itself that goes into its alternatives. I know you heard that meeting, heard that discussion last meeting regarding the BLM's RMP. I just wanted to let you know that we are looking at all the matters that could potentially affect Story County, such as mining and solar uses, wind and access, and four-wheel driving on public lands and hunting, all those sorts of matters. I want to let you know that our master plan workshops that are coming up, as I stated, we're kicking these up to a faster pace. And we know last Thursday we had a workshop on zoning and master plan, had quite a bit of discussion with the planning commissioners on generally from 30,000 feet where we want to go with the county. I had already been working with each of the communities in more intimate settings where the community members let us know, what do you want in your communities? So we're now putting that into text, and we will have our next meeting on February 5th. That will be down at the Tourism Center. It's a little bit better venue for a roundtable type of discussion. We'll probably have hors d'oeuvres and coffee at that too. So hopefully some people are able to attend and participate. And once again, it'll be a roundtable type of session where the public will be able to really integrate and collaborate with the planning commissioners and staff. The meeting after that likely will be February 19th, and that'll be down in Lockwood, where we'll have a similar type of format, and then we'll also discuss the zoning ordinance updates that we have gone to two meetings now on some of those minor amendments, as well as significant amendments dealing with setbacks and matters like that. There was a mention earlier, Pat made, about the food trucks, and our folks over here from Nevada Health have been a huge help for us. So far, these food trucks have been quite successful. It's been my job to try to collaborate with these food truck companies and getting some remote sites set up out at the industrial park. And these are particularly sites that are not served very well by our existing restaurants. Companies have let me know in person that they just don't have enough time to let their employees drive 20 minutes to that site and then 20 minutes back. So the important aspect of that is we want to provide these food truck services out of try. We do not want to provide unfair competition for existing restaurants that are out there who are paying the overhead and are already established. So far it's looking very good. All the food truck services, there's three for sure now, four potentially, being very cooperative in that and establishing locations. And last but not least, on the HR side, we are in our open enrollment period, so at this point we're working with our insurance carriers as well as our insurance broker, LP Insurance, and we're going to go through the bidding process. We're working with a benefits committee that we have of our employees to ask what is it that you need, what is it you need and want in your services, and what type of experiences have you had over the past year with the insurance carriers themselves as well as the benefits provided. So far, it looks like, from our experience rating over the period of the year, we've had a pretty good experience rating. Nothing that really comes out of the ordinary, and that's good, because your insurance carriers are going to look at that experience of that year and the prior 2 years in determining what your rates are going to be for the next round. And it appears so far, hopefully, that we're looking at a minimal or potentially no insurance premium cost to the county. So far, so good. But we will see in the next coming couple months what happens with that regard. And then staff is also working on the structure of our plan with our insurance broker, such as our HSA plan that we have now and our PPO plan that we have now. And we may have to restructure some of those things if there are potential costs that we're not aware of in providing the service that we want to our employees, but also not having additional costs that are preventable. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Austin. Anything for Austin? No? Okay, moving along to the Comptroller's Office, Mr. Gallagher.
Nothing at this time, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Sheriff Antonoro?
Just one thing. Anybody who reads the local papers last week, I'm sure they saw a little bit of a rant in there about the New Year's Eve firearms discharge. So I want to take just a minute to educate folks a little bit. Constitution of the United States, Constitution of the State of Nevada allows possession of firearm. Nevada law allows you to carry that firearm in public. In the particular instance that happened, New Year's Eve, it would be a violation of law to be in possession of a firearm if you had a blood alcohol content of 0.10 or greater. In that particular instance, there is no evidence to indicate that that occurred. It would also be against Nevada law if you willfully and maliciously discharged a firearm into an occupied structure. Again, with that particular instance, there is no reason to believe that it was a willful and malicious discharge. It was an accident, plain and simple. If there was evidence of a crime, my office would vigorously investigate it, and I'm sure I can speak for District Attorney Langer that her office would vigorously prosecute it. So, in regards to the rant, there was not a crime committed. If there were, it would be handled. Those who have concerns with firearms and the laws in the great state of Nevada, we are getting ready to head into legislative session. There is going to be a significant amount of bills dealing with firearms in the state, so I would recommend that you contact your assemblymen, your senators, let your opinions and preferences be known so that they can be addressed in the upcoming session. That's all I have.
Okay. Thank you, Sheriff.
If you have questions.
I didn't see the rant. I do. Does the recorder have anything today, Ms. Shannon?
Nothing today.
District Attorney Langer?
Nothing, Mr. Chairman.
Madam Clerk? Nothing. Ex officio? Mr. Vega? Nothing today, sir? All right. That concludes staff reports. Item number 10, we've already continued that, and that will be continued to the next regular scheduled meeting at February the 3rd, 10 a.m., right here in this room. Moving along now to item number 11, Commissioner Gilman.
Yeah, I take a few minutes to share some of the fun that's going on in our county right now. And by way of explanation, and thank you, Pat, for that. I appreciate that. Kind of by way of background on the story, we were at the legislature processing the Tesla transaction, and that took place over a Wednesday and a Thursday. And of course, that was a 100% approved legislative package for Tesla. Following that vote and monumental day, Pat Whitten and I, our county manager, were approached by Brian Kroelke, the lieutenant governor, And he said that there was a company that was headquartered in Phoenix, Arizona, and it appeared that our state was going to lose their expansion. Phoenix, Arizona was the front runner state, and there was a lot of concern. And we really weren't aware of the company at the time. And so we were asked to take our Story County team and get busy and see if there might be some way that we could leverage our way in and get acquainted with this particular group. So that started, and a series of several meetings with them. And I'll tell you from my experience, and I've been in industrial development for over 40 years, they're the most exciting company that I've ever visited in my entire life. It is just incredible what they do. And I suspect if we were to take a poll nationally of finding a CEO that has as much or more compassion and caring for a community, we really wouldn't be able to find someone much better than Rob Roy, who is their CEO. Man holds like 205 patents with our federal patent office. He's a brilliant, brilliant strategist. He's heavily involved in education. As a matter of fact, he's working with our university currently and will be moving offices into the university to interact. For those of you that have kept up with Switch, they took one of the largest processing computers in the world. They brought it into the company. They set it up, and then they allowed UNLV free access to one of the largest research opportunity computers in the globe. And they did that free. So the company's name is Switch, if you want to pull it up on the internet. They also go by the name of SuperNAP. And I would tell you, so what do they do? Backing up just a minute, Tesla captured everybody's imagination, and we all played out on the world stage. And it was phenomenal what was happening for Story County, and we won a David and Goliath battle. Collectively, we won. But no one believed Nevada could capture, much less our wonderful little Story County. So that being the case, I'm going to tell you that this Switch, if you'll go and visit with them, and as you watch this this adventure unfold, are going to bring so much more to our community, to our education base, and to our industry than Tesla would start to. Tesla's wonderful. All these wonderful companies are coming. Not to take anything away, Switch is on the leading edge of the highest level of technology in the globe today. They are currently in Las Vegas. Las Vegas is known as the second largest connectivity hub in the globe, second only to Amsterdam. And Mr. Roy suggests that they're going to be trenching from Las Vegas to our county. They're going to be putting in a significant amount of fiber in the ground. They're going to connect that fiber to Los Angeles and San Francisco. And we will be the most connected county, if you will, perhaps in the globe, and in the very, very short foreseeable future. So what do they do? And if I may just ramble for a minute, what do they do and what are they bringing? Switch builds high-tech buildings that are incredibly safe. Three roofs, for example, and huge slabs. And they have people running around with AK-47s in full combat dress. And they have 14-foot gates that you go through. And you don't go anywhere within their facility unless you have a guard with you fully. Well, why? They store all of the data and all of the information and the secrets of the world. Their company base, they represent about 1,000 of the largest corporations in the world. And they store all of those secrets. Everything out of Hollywood, a great deal of the federal government, everything from Amazon. Their first building is going to be for eBay. That's 1 million square feet of nothing but data storage compatibility. eBay, of course, owns PayPal, so every click has to be saved. So, interestingly enough, with a company like Switch and the 1,000 largest companies, they provide the space with all of this technology involved, all of this billions of dollars worth of equipment. Every one of those individual companies bring between 1 and 25 people to babysit all their stuff, because it's very valuable, it's very high-tech, and it's very secret. So we'll be the recipients in our office program there. So for every company that comes in, there'll be another average, what, 10, 15? I don't know the answer to that. And we'll be the host in Story County to virtually the 1,000 largest corporations in the world. They're going to be introduced to our park, to our community, to our Virginia City. We're on the threshold of an incredible adventure. And Rob Roy would tell you, if you were to, he were sitting here in the room, that we will change the threshold of Northern Nevada, and we will become, based upon the industry that they're bringing, the new Silicon Valley of the Western United States. If you think about that for just a minute, Apple's already here. Ghost is already here. Now, Switch is already here. And I can tell you that out of TRI, we're hosting three additional major data companies that represent another 3 million feet. So, you know, this tsunami we've all been talking about, deliver on the promise. All the preparation that's gone in over the last 10 or 12 or 15 years, we are now as a county being rewarded. And as the governor said, we have identified and now made contracts with Switch. They are grading right now. They're working with Dean Haymore right now. This is not a build next year. This is a build immediately. Their contracts are finished with eBay already. So watch the papers and pay attention. But our lives, truly, I cannot begin to tell you, are about to change. And one number I'll give you that's not out in the paper, you're not going to see anywhere. Tesla has excited all of our taste buds. And they're going to come in and they're going to build 6 million feet, and they're going to invest $5 billion in our little Story County. That's what they're going to do. They're going to create a payroll of $350 million a year, just in their payroll. Switch, when you drill down into what's actually going to happen, and this is probably a little proprietary, but Switch has identified a $20 billion investment in Story County. $20 billion investment. You're not going to see that published, because there's a whole lot of political issues that are taking place all around us. But I don't believe we could have an announcement that had more impact to our future and our community and our financial worth than Switch.
May I append just one brief thing to that? I'd like to add, as we closed out 2014, a member of the audience took what I think was a little bit of a cheap shot at Vice Chairman Gilman, questioning his periodic absences from the County Commission meetings. And as I recall, even referencing that he may have missed part or all, or even two in a row. And I want to tell you, as their chief staff, you know, those decisions don't come easy. As I look out and I see Fire Chief Hames in the audience, I know that probably late on a Friday afternoon, with the commission meeting already locked and loaded for the following Tuesday, we got a call from this very team, the Switch team. And it went to Lance first and said, we need you down here to tour our facility, get a better understanding of it, and we need the entire team down there. So Lance turned to me and said, Pat, I'm going to miss probably my first meeting, and it was painful. But I gave him guidance, made sure the Commissioner Chevangin, made sure that Chairman McBride was here, and business went on as usual. That was the meeting that I was not at, and Lance was not at. Subsequent to that, there had been one or two others, but that is what it takes to do this. When the timing's the timing. Yesterday was a state and federal holiday. And yet I will tell everybody, Tesla wanted to work yesterday, so I was on a conference call, as was Chairman McBride, at 4:30 yesterday afternoon. So the work goes on, and again, I think our commission and our staff, certainly exclude myself, I'm not trying to pat myself on the back, but these guys are the team that really make this happen out there. So thank you for your leadership.
I must add something for you all here that happens behind the scenes that I think that you appreciate. Elon Musk stood on the steps of the Capitol and said, we chose Northern Nevada, we chose Story County, because this is a place where you get things done. So I can tell you that in this last program with Switch, Steve Hill, who's the governor's director of economic development in our state, he challenged the world at large and basically said, you bring us your company and introduce them, and our development group out here will land that transaction. And that's the highest form of praise for a county, Story County, and the capability that's gone on here. You guys, you know, do something once, well, it might be an accident. You know, and you do something pretty good twice, and, well, maybe you ought to pay attention. And when you do it the third time, there's got to be something going on behind the scenes here that's doing really well. And our little community is so poised for success. It's, yeah, I can't even, I don't have words to tell you how excited it is.
Thank you, Commissioner Gilman. I can't follow that, so.
Maybe we need a break. So,
do you need a break?
Why not?
Okay, so let's go ahead. Let's take about a 10-minute recess. Thank you.